Learn live in the classroom at Online Trading Academy's Financial Education Center in Bellevue. You'll have access to state-of-the-art workstations where you can learn on a professional trading platform. Text Cairo to 57682 to register for a free half-day workshop and learn more.
This is our number...
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Well, this is just an unmitigated disaster now around the radio station here today.
People are starting to complain, Dory.
Yeah, and rightly so. And I don't know what to do about it.
You are making a mess of our entire newsroom.
I honestly have no idea what to do about it.
I say you walk around barefoot.
But then I'll get the rubber all over my feet. And if you weren't tuned, people aren't going to believe this. But Jennings is putting together something for Facebook right now. So this weekend, a friend of mine had given me a pair of shoes. I don't know how long ago.
I've decided you got punked.
Well, he has a company and they sell shoes, but I don't even want to talk what industry they're in. It's kind of an ancillary business.
Mm.
And so he gave me this pair of shoes and it was sitting in a closet and my wife finds it in the box. She goes, "Hey, you've never worn these shoes." And I looked at them yesterday. And I said, "Well, those are really nice-looking shoes. I'll wear them to work tomorrow." So I strap them on, lace them up, and I had to sit and do the laces this morning because they'd truly never been worn. And I'm at my desk this morning, and I stand up, and it's like the bottom of my feet are all uneven.
It's like your toes are jetting out of the shoes.
The sole of one shoe had just fallen off. Moments later, the sole of the other shoe falls off. Brock Heward's laughing at me. I take a video. I send it to my friend who gave me the shoes. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, that company's out of business."
Oh. Apparently, those shoes had a shelf life.
Yeah. So now, here's the horrible part, Ursula. The rubber between the sole and, I mean, the whole sole has fallen off. But now there's like...
It looks like a tire blew up and there's just like rubber chunks all over our newsroom.
There's like
and
an
rubber
inch of
black
rubber.
Smears.
Every step I take, I'm leaving these pebbles of rubber. And here in the studio, where Ron Upshaw's going to sit later, there is... It looks like a campfire. And it's nothing but ashes. And by my desk...
Are you dragging the soles of your feet? What are you doing that makes them...
I don't.
It's just like disintegrating.
They are, and I don't know what to do about it.
I go barefoot.
If I go barefoot, then I'll get this rubber stuff all
well,
over my feet.
Join the club because that's what we have now.
Well, but at least you have shoes to protect your feet from them. So, and I honestly, I've never seen anything like
we
this.
We have to post. You're not exaggerating by saying your shoes are falling apart.
My shoes are disintegrating.
Do you have any holes in your socks? At least go around with socks.
Well, then I'll get that rubber stuff in my socks.
Okay, if this is our biggest problem.
It's my biggest problem right now because everybody's ticked off at me because there's this
it's
rubber.
True.
Yeah.
They're telling us, like, knock it off, Dory.
Yeah, Kim Shepherd, she's ticked off. She's asking me why I don't take them off. But I don't want to get the rubber in my feet, so I don't know what to do here. Doggone it, anyway. Should I get on to the news here? The Fastest 15, a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Did you hear the very exciting news that I shared with Brock Heward?
No.
About a half hour ago?
What was that?
The Kentucky Derby on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that you're a big winner once again.
I posted it on Twitter 2 hours before the race. I said, it's a $100 ticket. Here's who's going to win. So Justify's going to win. And then one of these two horses, or four horses, I think, to finish second and third. And I said, so I'm betting a trifecta. It'll cost $100. And doggone it, if it didn't hit and paid $757. So you got to start following me on Twitter or something.
I do follow you. I just don't do horse betting.
Well, you got to get on the gravy train.
I know. Well, I tried that one time because remember when we went to the racetrack and we I was asking you for advice. Every darn one that you gave me, I lost on.
Yeah, you're
that was
a jinx.
An off day.
You're a jinx. That's what you are. Okay, got lots of news to talk about here. I got a tip from a listener a few days ago who lives in West Seattle. And they said, Dory, when the police are telling us all that they don't have enough officers to even come and see a car prowl, why does Dow Constantine have one or two King County sheriff cars outside his house all the time providing security for him? And I thought, this can't be so. So we called the King County Sheriff's Office. We called Mitzi Johanknik. And she said, because of security reasons, we cannot tell you if we have cars posted outside of Dow Constantine's house. She said, if you're going to get that information, you have to call Dow Constantine's office.
Okay, so that sounds fair.
We have done that, and we have just gotten an email from Alex Fryer, the director of communications for Dow Constantine, and we asked three questions. Number one, is the tip accurate? And they responded, we have increased security outside of Dow's house. Then we asked, why is this necessary? Chief of Staff Rachel Smith believed it was necessary in the light of increasing actions by protesters, including appearing at Dow's house in the early morning hours. And then third, how many cops and how many hours a day or week? And they said, we cannot disclose that out of security concerns. And so it is interesting to me, and this reminds me, remember when Ed Murray went to Israel, he and his husband, and they had part of it was they said for professional reasons, and then part of it was an extended vacation, but they had two Seattle police officers as their bodyguards in Israel, even on the vacation part of their trip. And we asked the question, first of all, nobody in Israel knows who Ed Murray is. It's not like when he's walking down the streets of Jerusalem that people go, ooh, isn't that the accused child rapist Seattle mayor? Nobody knows that about him. They wouldn't recognize him from anybody. I think it was just, that was just an ego thing. That he can have security, so he's going to take it. And now Dow Constantine, we find out, has cops outside of his house.
But I think those are two totally different things. I mean, yeah, they're both asking for security, but if he has had people, protesters, show up at his home in the morning, I believe he has children, and you know, they can't disclose details as to what exactly it is, but if there is some kind of threat, I get it.
But we have thousands and thousands of houses that are broken into every single month, certainly every year in the region, and the cops don't have time to respond to those. And I'm just trying to figure out why we can park cops outside of Dow Constantine's house, and yet the people whose homes and cars are broken into, we can't even get a police response there.
Okay, and I understand that frustration. But I don't think that we can say, you know, because we can't have police stationed at everyone's house, we can't have it when there may have been an actual threat.
Yeah. Maybe Dow Constantine should have a gun and protect his own house and his own family, and then he wouldn't have to. But I mean, and again, we don't have that option. You know, some of us have to arm ourselves because we don't have cops sitting outside our house all the time. But that is the answer, and I appreciate Dow Constantine's director of communications getting back and answering the question for us. Next up in the Festist 15, as we talk about all the time, this is not just a Seattle King County issue, the crime that's going on everywhere. Down in Olympia, we told you last week about the bank windows that were smashed by hooded Antifa vandals. And down in Olympia, this is a homeless advocate who says, you can't link vandals and homeless.
Who knows what they're thinking? They think they're in their right mind doing something like that. And then you have the homeless population, and those are two very separate things.
A resident in Olympia says the vandals are creating a lot of tension there.
Who's next or what could happen? It creates a level of fear in the community that you just do not want to see.
But as we're seeing in Everett and Seattle and Tacoma and Olympia, if you elect weak leaders who let the vandals take control of a city, if you let vagrants take control, if you let drug addicts take control, of course your city is less safe. But this is a direct extension for all of you in Olympia who don't feel safe. This is a direct extension of the votes that you make. Next up in the Fastest 15, have you heard the Shaquille O'Neal guest advice?
No.
Apparently, this is from a few days ago, and I missed it. A listener just sent this to me over the weekend and said, I can't believe you never played this. But it was a few nights ago on Inside the NBA, Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Ernie Johnson. They are the four guys on the set. And they don't just talk about basketball. Sometimes they talk about how to save money. And one of the guys is upset that it costs, if he got this one card, it would cost him $80 a week to fill it up. And so Shaquille O'Neal had a great strategy how to save money on gas in your car.
Okay.
See if you can follow along with this.
Because I told him I didn't want to get a certain vehicle because of the amount of gas I would have to spend. Yeah. It costs like $80
to fill it up.
And he said, then you said,
when it gets to half, then you put $20, you bring it back to full.
Yeah. But if I keep doing, I would have to stop more often and still spend 80.
No, you wouldn't.
Why?
You're complaining about when it gets to zero, you spend 80, right?
Okay. So, yes, if the tank's empty, you got to fill it, and it'll cost $80. Shaq says, just put $20 in when it gets to half, and that'll fill it, which may not make sense, but, boy, Shaq defended it.
When it gets to half, you put 20. Then when it get back to half, you put 20.
Yeah, but I'll keep stopping, putting 20 in, and it'll be cool. 80, Kenny, the same amount of gas.
Kenny, I'm driving the same amount of gas. The average human stops once a week for gas, right? With you, you only work here twice. You would probably have to stop maybe once every 2 weeks.
You're telling me that if I didn't let my gas get down, I wouldn't have to fill it up as much?
Okay, I'm really enjoying this. So this
is that Charles Barkley?
That's Kenny Smith there. Talking to Shaq.
No, I'm saying you complained about the $80. That's what the conversation about.
But four times 20 is 80 because I'm going to stop four times.
No, you're not going to stop four times. Not in 1 week, you're not.
Anyway,
Kenny,
the West Coast is closer than the moon.
If you let it get to zero, right, Monday through Friday, right, then you got to pay 80 to fill it back up.
Right.
Okay, but if you let it get to half by Wednesday, then you pay 20.
No, it won't get to half by...
Shaq, he's struggling with this, but he's defending it. I got to give him credit there.
Right, but if Wednesday it's going to be 40, and then on Friday it'll be 40.
Not 40,
again.
20. Yeah. It's going to be 20.
No.
It's going to be 20.
Not half. Half of 80 is 40.
But no, listen to what I'm saying.
I just thought that would be a useful tip if you feel like gas is too much.
I like it.
Yeah.
Just do it in $20 increments.
I'm just here to
you
help.
Won't feel the pain.
Exactly. Next up in the Fastest 15, there was a baseball injury yesterday. Yadier Molina, he is the catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. He's behind the plate, Ursula. He's got the glove ready to catch a 102-mile-an-hour fastball, and the batter swings and just barely ticks the ball. And the ball goes right under the glove, and it goes 102 miles an hour right into Yadier Molina's groin.
Ouch. Boy, that caught Molina, and he's down. You know this, Yadier Molina is one of the toughest players in the game. If he's slow to get up, you know that thing caught him very, very square. It's coming 102 miles an hour anyhow. Then foul tip right back into him.
Well, they had to rush him to the hospital for emergency surgery for a traumatic hematoma, and he's going to be out for a month. But, 102 miles an hour right there. And, you know, it brings to mind our buddy, Paul Moyer. You know his story, right?
No.
He in an NFL game, he ruptured one of those things down there.
Okay, I'm not laughing. I'm laughing at the way you're describing one of those things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. He ruptured one.
Why can't we say it?
You can say testicle.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, he ruptured one
yeah.
of those things. And he didn't want to tell anybody it happened in the first half. And he was afraid if he told anybody on the training or medical staff, they wouldn't let him go out and play in the second half.
Oh,
and
no.
So Paul went and played the entire second half of an NFL game with one of those things ruptured.
Yowzer.
Yes, that is a yowzer, indeed. Okay, and finally, in the Fast 15, remember your favorite political candidate from Friday? Guy running for Senate in West Virginia.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, he's back. He released another ad over the
Great.
Weekend.
Great.
Here's the one that you weren't crazy about, and frankly, I wasn't either. This is the one he was running last week. He's running he's trying to replace a Republican senator in West Virginia. His name is Don Blankenship.
Swamp Captain Mitch McConnell has created millions of jobs for China people. While doing so, Mitch has gotten rich. In fact, his China family has given him tens of millions of dollars. Mitch's swamp people are now running false negative ads against me. They are also childishly calling me despicable and mentally ill. The war to drain the swamp and create jobs for West Virginia people has begun. I will beat Joe Manchin and ditch Cocaine Mitch for the sake of the kids.
Okay, so he was criticized, and I know that you particularly didn't like him talking
Who
about China
would like
people.
Him? Okay.
Yeah, so he's decided to fight back against all the critics.
This is Don Blankenship, candidate for U.S. Senate. The establishment politicians are getting desperate and more hostile. They are calling me a bigot, a moron, a despicable character, and mentally ill. But even if all of this is true, I will do a better job than they have done.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
I am a bigot and mentally ill, I will do a better job than they
and
have done.
And I just
done.
Love his delivery. It's just
They
monotone.
Have resorted to this childish name-calling because they don't want us to focus on the issues. The issues are that we need more West Virginia jobs, we need to end the drug crisis, and we need an honest government. We do not need more childish behavior like you may have witnessed at the Fox debate. The fake news is also pretending to be offended by my use of the words China people. They seem not to realize that China is a country, not a race. The establishment has given millions of our jobs to China people and left many West Virginia people to fend for themselves. Send me to the Senate, and I will represent West Virginia people, not China people. I am an America person. And I will put America first.
There you go. MAGA right there. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. There is a couple in Ballard. They say it is time that the city council and politicians locally start listening to us. We'll find out what their message is all about when we talk to them next. Well, as we told you right at the beginning of our show, King County or Seattle City Councilman Mike O'Brien apparently put on quite a scene at the Nordic Heritage Museum Gala. I talked to a source with the management team that kicked O'Brien and his wife out of the gala. O'Brien spilled his drink. His wife shouted F the fisherman to a fisherman's group. And this is on top of all the destruction that the man has been doing to the streets in the neighborhood in which I grew up in Ballard. I know that one couple that is absolutely sick of it is a guy named Marty McComber, who along with his wife, Deborah Bach, they are trying to get Mike O'Brien recalled. And Marty joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Marty, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Good to talk to you too, Dory. Let me just say that I'm not part of the recall effort, but we did write an open letter to Mike O'Brien that's gotten quite a number of signatures, over 2,500 last we spoke. that I think really details the frustrations the community is having regarding our response to homelessness and the credibility issue that this council has in dealing with this this crisis on our streets.
Okay, good distinction. So tell me, in, as best you can, the main sources of the frustration that you're seeing here.
Well, you know, we've been talking for a number of years that the community really needs to be part of the solution and that we really need to be considered and heard when we think about how do we help the folks on our streets today to get the help that they need to rebuild their lives. And so, you know, what we've seen instead really is this council ignore us, ignore the impacts on our neighborhoods. And in our in Ballard in particular, we've been pretty hard hit. You know, our Central Park in Ballard now is very is not a place that I think families would feel welcome to go anymore. It's a, an open-air drug market. There are people there all the time. Who have very serious issues that need to be dealt with, and we're doing nothing about that. And that's really a growing sense of frustration around public safety, public health in our neighborhoods. It's not just Ballard; it's really across the entire city right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that's what we're hearing is a lot of frustration about that.
Well, and it is across the entire Puget Sound region, but particularly bad in Seattle because, for reasons that I will never understand, Marty, they have decided to allow and tolerate this public vagrancy and open drug use and things like the heroin dens that the government wants to put in. Of course, they're going to attract heroin addicts to our region if that becomes official government policy.
Well, you know, what we're saying here is that, you know, any, you know, the council keeps saying they want to experiment with public policy issues. And I think you shouldn't be experimenting in neighborhoods without really thinking about how do you mitigate those impacts? How do you study those impacts and make sure that we're not just papering over the very real issues that are taking place in our neighborhood? You know, and that's where we're, I think the sense of frustration is really coming in for a lot of folks today. They're not just seeing any kind of progress taking place, especially with those chronic street homeless populations that are really having a big impact on us.
Yeah, and every time those Compass teams go out and they offer services, and I am an absolute believer that we taxpayers should provide as much drug and alcohol counseling and job training and mental health counseling for anybody and everybody who wants it. But the fact of the matter is most of the people on the streets reject all of that. And then government comes back and says, well, then we'll build you housing and we'll let you smoke crack and use heroin and drink yourself to death in the housing the taxpayers provide. And I don't see how that is helping anyone's life.
Well, I'd say that, you know, housing's part of the solution, but we can't continue to have this hands-off policy when it comes to folks who are staying in tents and living in RVs in our neighborhoods. And there's a subset of that population that is causing a lot of impacts, and we can't just ignore that anymore. And that's really where we need to begin to focus and figure out how do we make sure that those folks who are service resistant, we are engaging them in really effective ways and not with this sort of hands-off, let them do what they're going to do kind of policies that I think that we've seen so far from this group.
Yeah, I was watching your interview with our friends at Cairo 7 last week, and while you and your wife were talking to the reporter, this woman who was either high or mentally ill came up and interrupted.
We want to make sure you get the help that you need. You know,
oh my gosh, who are you guys?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Nice one on you.
This is actually what's happening.
Can you just leave us alone and let's help each other? You are so judgmental.
And I saw her slapping or clapping her hands right in your wife's face, Marty, and your poor wife just looked so uncomfortable that you were being accosted when you were expressing compassion for these people at the time.
Well, and it was a good example. I mean, it almost seemed like it was scripted, but
yeah,
it wasn't. We were there at the park. It's really the central park for Ballard. It's really one of the only large public spaces that isn't a play field that we have as a community that's really growing and has a lot of density now. You know, we want that place to be a safe and welcoming place for everyone in the neighborhood. And what's happened is because of the thing, the city policies that this council has promoted, it's become a place that most families wouldn't consider going to anymore, especially with young children.
So you're asking Mike O'Brien and his colleagues to pay attention Do you think it's salvageable with this group of politicians? Because it seems to me that they've made up their mind that the injection sites are the way to go, that the wet housing is the way to go, that just when we're already spending more than any city in the country, $200 million a year in Seattle and King County, and they say, well, if you give us another $75 million, then we'll start to fix it. I don't know that it's salvageable with this group of leaders.
Well, I'd say this. I think there's almost no well of credibility with this council. There's so many examples of them overpromising and underdelivering in regards to tax increases and increased spending. And so I think that's been a pattern with these folks. And I know that I, along with many other people, are really frustrated. My politics in Seattle, I think are very reflective with most of the voters in this city. But you know, there comes a point in which we want to see results for the investments that we're making. And with this council, we just don't see those results. And that's really where I think people are standing up and saying, why aren't we able to make an impact? Why doubling our funding on homelessness already? And all we've seen is the problem get worse and worse and worse. And I think that's where people are. And if they don't change course, if they don't really begin to listen and make some changes, then I think that there's going to be a lot of frustration expressed at the polls next year when 7 of the 9 council members are up for election.
Yeah, well, I simply do not believe they have the competence to get this job done, but that's my view. All right, Marty McComber has circulated a petition telling Mike O'Brien to pay attention. I hope it has some impact because it seems like everything's falling on deaf ears right now, Marty.
Yeah, it sure does. Thank you very much.
Marty, thanks for coming on. Marty McComber joining us. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text us at 98973 or email us, mynorthwest.com, the Dory Monson Show page. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. Industrious Office is just an amazing workspace right in the heart of downtown Seattle, right on 6th and Lenora, right where everything Seattle has to offer is on your doorstep. And at Industrious, you can start with the right size office and then scale up as your team grows. Go to industriousoffice.com/Cairo, schedule a tour, mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hi, I'm Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. When Cairo Radio listeners miss their favorite show, they find it on demand. Maybe you should be advertising here. Give me a call and I'll help you out. 206-726-6819.
Getting lots of text messages and emails about the shoes that are disintegrating at the bottom of my legs as we speak. So I even went out to the sidewalk during a commercial and I started scraping them on the sidewalk so I wouldn't leave little rubber debris all over the building. And there's still rubber debris all over the building. I went to try to find a vacuum cleaner because I like to be a conscientious co-worker. I was going to vacuum up the mess. The vacuum appears to be behind a locked door that I don't have access to. I don't know what to do. My shoes are melting. If you weren't listening at the very beginning of the show, very bizarre story about Seattle City Councilman Mike O'Brien at the Nordic Heritage Museum Gala over the weekend. And it's a disturbing story. It also shows the absolute contempt that O'Brien and apparently his wife have for the working class people of this city. And if you missed it, it is a remarkable story, and I will recap it for you right after the top of the hour news. Did you know there was a mass shooting in America this weekend? And I know what you're thinking. No, no, no. I was watching the news. I didn't hear about a mass shooting. I was watching CNN. MSNBC, Fox News, there was no mass shooting in America. I read the newspaper, there's no mass shooting. Yeah, there was. It's just another weekend in Chicago. Toughest gun laws in the country are in Chicago. 18 people were wounded on Saturday alone in gun violence in Chicago, including a 12-year-old boy who was shot when someone interrupted an argument with gunfire. A man took out a handgun, fired shots into a group that included the 12-year-old boy. He's in critical condition. 23-year-old man was also wounded in that shooting. An hour earlier, two women were wounded in a drive-by shooting outside of a hospital. They're listed in fair and good condition. Earlier in the afternoon, a man was shot multiple times while riding a bike. He was 25 years old. He's in critical condition. 37-year-old man was shot in the Park Manor neighborhood. He was hit in the leg. His condition has been stabilized. In the West Side neighborhood, a man was shot while sitting inside a vehicle, 26 years old. South Side, two men were wounded seriously in a shooting in Washington Park. Middle of the afternoon, 30 and 64-year-old men were standing on a sidewalk when someone ran up and shot both of them. And then there were at least 10 others. 19 people shot in one day. Yeah, I'd say that qualifies as a mass shooting. Gets zero coverage. City does have the toughest gun laws in the country. Speaking of shootings, remember that Waffle House shooting? And there was that one guy who was an absolute hero taking on the shooter, James Shaw Jr. Well, James Shaw Jr., he went on CNN this weekend with Van Jones. Van Jones is the communist. Is he communist or former communist? I can never keep track of where he is in the spectrum, where he is in his political walk. But he was Barack Obama's good close buddy. Van Jones has a show. And this was awesome. He tried, when he had James Shaw Jr. on, the Waffle House hero, he tried to get him to badmouth Trump, but James Shaw Jr. didn't want to have any of Van Jones' nonsense.
Have you heard yet from President Trump?
At this time, I haven't heard anything, but that's not to say he didn't try to contact me or not.
So he said, yeah, I haven't heard from him, but it's no big deal. But, ooh, Van Jones wanted to try to make it a big deal.
But he gave a shout-out to, gave a shout-out to Kanye today. Mm-hmm. No shout-out to you. How do you feel when the President of the United States misses an opportunity to hold up, somebody who's trying to do good stuff like you?
I know he has a busy agenda, busy schedule. Maybe he just hasn't got around to me. Maybe my time is coming. It's not for me to judge really what he does. It's just, I did what I did, and I didn't really do it for recognition. I did it just to save my life, honestly.
That hero, first of all, he talks like an actual hero. I don't need recognition. I don't need the president to call me. And he didn't want any of Van Jones' nonsense. By the way, Van Jones, if you're so concerned with shootings, why didn't you mention the mass shooting in Chicago on Saturday? Oh, yeah, toughest gun laws in the country. Wouldn't have fit the agenda. But I just love the fact that he was trying to get this guy to badmouth the president, and James Shaw Jr. didn't want anything to do with it. Van Jones sounded like a fool there. Okay, we got a lot to do here. We will see. We'll keep checking. We had a rather shocking story about Seattle City Councilman Mike O'Brien and his wife from over the weekend. We've been reaching out, trying to see if he wants to respond to the reports we're getting. We'll keep trying. Dory Monson Show rolls on.